Welcome to another edition of our Kinship Christian Radio podcast, and my guest this time around is John Ellis. He's a distinguished professor emeritus of German literature at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and he has taught at universities in England, Wales, and Canada before joining UCSC in 1966. His articles on education reform have appeared in prominent national publications, and our subject will be his latest book, entitled The Breakdown of Higher Education, How It Happened, The Damage It Does, and What Can Be Done. Boy, regardless of whether you're in Minneapolis or some other, you know, large city anyway, mostly large cities, we're seeing that a lot of this stuff taking place is involving campuses, isn't it? I didn't realize Minneapolis didn't necessarily start on a campus, but a lot of this, you know, whether it's rioting or it kind of is getting some roots from college campuses, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt that the campuses are helping to poison our culture at the moment. I mean, that's not the way college campuses have been in the past. I mean, when you think several decades ago, college campuses strengthened and enriched our culture enormously. Now they're spreading goofy, dangerous ideas like defund the police and so on. I had a opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal 2 days ago, and the title of the Wall Street Journal gave it spells out the story. The title is "Campus Culture Seizes the Streets," and I think that's a pretty accurate summary of what I have to say there.
So really, when we look at, Antifa or, you know, kind of even the Black Lives Matter movement, at least some of this was seeded by what's being taught at college campuses then, huh?
Oh, I'm sure that's the case, yeah. The radical left managed over a period of, it's all of 50 years, I think, that the process happened, managed to ensconce itself on the campus and now has a controlling position there. I mean, not everyone is radical left, but the controlling majority is. And the result is that you have an atmosphere on college campuses where debate doesn't exist anymore. I mean, what we like to think is that college campuses are places where the reason prevails and that you can have a debate on the social and political issues of the day, and that debate will be a more rational, better informed debate than you'd get outside college campuses. Now, what's happening now is the exact reverse, that you can have a good debate on social and political matters off campus, but not on campus, because there's only one point of view allowed, and that point of view shouts down any challenge to it. It simply will not put up with anything that deviates from what the campus thinks of as the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I marvel at the most, how people who are supposedly so intelligent will not, you know, they refuse to defend their views even. They'd rather name call and shut down all debate, huh?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we live in a situation where college campuses, universities, you know, there are great names, Harvard, Yale, people have enormous respect for them. They're wonderful old buildings, they're impressive diplomas, there's a whole history they have. And the public is under a kind of spell. It's a magical aura around those things. And so people still are not facing up to just how much they've deteriorated. Those old, the glorious old aura that they have is not there anymore. I mean, what's happening now is that a very narrow-minded, a very destructive group now controls those places. And the public has really got to wake up from that spell that the old magic cast and see them for what they really are now. So, I mean, look at what is actually happening, the facts of what's happening in those places. It doesn't any longer deserve the respect that it once deserved.
Right. Well, and the media is so complicit in this that, you know, it makes it difficult. Well, they purposely make it difficult to get the truth out. Like this message that you're sharing, you wouldn't be invited on, you know, CNN or something to share this message, I don't presume. So.
No, I've been invited on Fox News by Mark Levin, but and I publish in places like the Wall Street Journal. But no, it's at the moment, you know, the mainstream media, New York Times, Washington Post, the major networks, don't want to hear any of this stuff. And in large part because the graduates of the radicalized, politicalized campuses run those places now.
Right, exactly. So that leaves us with, you know, I don't want to leave our listeners with a hopeless, it seems, you know, as we talk, and that, you know, this is just such a hopeless situation, and probably in some regards it is, but what can we do to help stem the tide of this?
Well, you have to focus on one single thing, I think, which is that this is all supported by public money, the money paid by the public in taxes, to support the state universities through the state legislatures, through tuition, what they pay for the kids to go to college, through their kids going into debt, with a very substantial debt those kids incur. So without all of that money, the colleges cannot function. I mean, what the public has to face up to is the fact that when they pay their kids tuition, when they see their kids go into debt, when they pay their state taxes, they are supporting this, and they don't have to. They can simply withdraw their support. Now, there is some hope in some statistics that we can see in the college enrollments. 2011, the college enrollments, higher education enrollments, were 20.5 million. Now, last year, that number was down to 17.5 million. So, in other words, it's a drop of 3 million. So, somewhere, you know, 3 million students are missing. Now, actually, if you adjust for population increase, that 20.5 million would normally have grown to 21.5 million. So, actually, there are really 4 million missing students. So, that represents 4 million decisions by parents and students that this is not worth it any longer. So that's an encouraging thought. But if twice that number would have happened, I mean, if instead of it being a drop of about a fifth, which is what we've seen in the last 10 years in higher education, if that drop doubled, say, to 40%, then colleges would start to collapse and go bankrupt. And a crisis would be obvious then, and there would be some kind of reform. That's the only way reform will come, because you cannot expect any longer colleges to reform from within. They're controlled now by the radical left. I mean, you can try and talk to college professors and tell them what they're doing isn't helpful, doesn't educate people, doesn't train the minds of their students, only gives them political indoctrination. But you can make that case, but it won't make any difference, because the controlling majority of faculty are radical left, and that's what they want. They want to indoctrinate kids. They don't want them to think for themselves, because kids who think for themselves might not reach the results that the radicals want them to reach. In fact, they certainly wouldn't. So, you know, we're left with the fact that the decision is in the hands of the public through the money they pay to support higher education. They are beginning to do the job of dismantling higher education with the decisions they're making. I hope they'll continue in that same direction, and that that'll cause eventually a collapse of this thoroughly rotten, corrupted system.
Hmm. Yeah, and I guess the only other thing that I'm thinking of is, you know, to support whatever few, because obviously there are vocations that you got to have a college education for, and to support those few colleges that are left out there that are still, you know, even some of the Christian colleges I realize are you know, turning to the left, but there are still a few out there that are decent, I hope, right?
Oh, yeah, there are still a few. I think Grove City, Hillsdale, there are a couple of others, not too many. I mean, you know, by the time you get to the fingers of one hand, you're running out of options. Now, you know, obviously there's a great deal of technical and scientific training that goes on college campuses, and that has to be protected. But the radical left is trying to take that over, too, and they've succeeded in some places. You know, these diversity statements that are now being required. I mean, every applicant for a job, even in the sciences, even in mathematics, engineering, has to submit a diversity statement. That is to say, what he will do to advance the cause of diversity, meaning the promotion of racial equity and so on. Now, that sounds all very nice, but what has happened at, in one case at the Berkeley campus of the University of California is that there were 1,000 applicants for a job in a technical field, and the administration, the bureaucrats, not the technical people, got hold of the applications of 1,000, winnowed them down to 200. What that means is non-scientists reduced that pool of applicants from 1,000 to 200. Now, you can bet that the basis on which they did it was who was on the radical left. Now, that's bound to reduce the quality of scientific education. And in fact, there are lots of other indications that the quality of scientific and engineering education on campus is going down. And it's going down for this very reason, that the radical left wants more people in the sciences to be on board with radical politics. And if they're on board with radical politics, they're not necessarily going to be the best scientific brains.
Our thanks goes to a distinguished Emeritus Professor John Ellis for sharing these thoughts with us today on the Kinship Christian Radio podcast.